Breaker one-nighter out there on the interwebs. Get your ears on for the Fitness Skills Podcast from GMB, where we're going to teach you how to get strong by practicing skills you actually want to learn and have fun in the process. My name is Andy Fawcett. I am not only the founder of the GMB Posse, but I'm also a client. And here with me is the hero of the GMB Epic Saga, Ryan Hurst, our program director and head coach. Ryan, how is it hanging?
What's up? A little to the left today, but other than that, things are great. How you doing?
I'm all right. I am quite all right. I am partaking of some fermented liquid refreshment at the moment because I am an adult and I am allowed to do such things. And because it's hot as balls?
Well, I'm the exact opposite for me. You know, it's early morning over here in Japan where I'm freezing my balls and I'm drinking some hot coffee.
Interesting. I heard that frozen balls are actually a delicacy in Japan.
Exactly. They are. You know, I could go into that.
Not much more to say about that.
Yeah. Right. And on to the next thing.
So, hello, everyone. We're going to be talking today about, we've gotten a lot of questions actually about scapular retraction in pull-ups and other things. It seems to be a hot topic, which... usually, if we get a spate of questions about something, it means that a exercise guru has made a post on Facebook. And so probably that's what happens. I don't know for sure because I don't follow any of those guys. But apparently one of them made a post on Facebook about scapular retraction lately. So we've got a lot of questions about that. We're going to answer that. We're going to answer some more questions about leg work, combining that with rings and parallette training. And Ryan wrote something about Billy Joel here, which I'm not sure how that ties in, but we'll get to it.
I won't sing for y'all.
Thank you. So let's talk first, though, a little bit about what's been going on. We gave a shout out recently to Tony Two Scoops.
Tony!
Your hero. And he shouted back nicely.
He did. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. I thought it was a joke. Not like him, but I thought it was someone else joking with me about it. It turns out it's the real guy. It's Tony Two Scoops. So we're going to be doing an interview with him and quite possibly a podcast, just to let everybody know.
And I'm sure it will be edifying in numerous ways. So that's good. Speaking of interviews and such, you talked to Nate Miyake recently, which we've been saying was going to happen for a long time. And may I just say, that was a damn good interview. If anyone has not listened to that, you need to. It's on our blog, goldmedalbodies.com. Really good interview about Nate's intermittent feast program, which basically is... It's a take on intermittent fasting and on the paleo sort of idea and a way to eat that really works for athletes and not just people who are trying to cut carbs so they can lose weight. And you've been using it for several months with great results. And anyone interested in nutrition and diet, and especially anyone who is not satisfied with their current results in that area, should definitely check that interview out. Ryan, why don't you just tell us just very, very briefly how it's worked for you?
Well, for one, lifestyle. And what I mean by that is I'm finally able to eat with my family and actually eat the same foods with them and enjoy it. And what I mean by that is on Nate's diet, you get to eat carbs. Oh, can't believe that. Yeah. You get to eat rice. You get to eat potatoes.
Yeah.
And in the evening, as a matter of fact. So it's not just like, you know, heavy breakfast, medium-sized lunch, small dinner. It's the exact opposite.
No carbs after 7.
Which is actually kind of cool. Don't have to worry about that. You know, very light lunch, paleo-style lunch, and then at dinner, bam, you get a carb up. Of course, it depends on your activities. But in my case, because every day I'm training pretty hard, pretty much every day I'm eating a little bit of rice or maybe some potatoes or something. And it's great because I can eat with the family and actually enjoy what I'm doing, which is huge for me. These years, you know, of course, I've been very careful with my diet, and my wife has had to cook special meals for me and things like that. And she loves it too, because now she doesn't have to worry about it. So that's me in a nutshell. I've just had great results with it, by the way. A lot of energy. Obviously, this morning I've got a lot of energy.
You've got a lot more energy than I'm personally comfortable with right now, to tell you the truth.
Let's go. Okay, more. But it's very, for me, it works very well. And I really suggest everyone checking out the interview that we did with them. Nate is a very intelligent guy, and he's also a funny guy. So I think you'll enjoy that interview.
Yeah, definitely. So check that out. Very good stuff. And also, I just want to congratulate. So we had a contest on Facebook, and Ryan, tell us how that went.
It was great. The winner, Jean-Paul, congratulations. What it was is just basically, you know, telling us what are your goals as far as what do you want to accomplish this year? And it was very interesting because Jean-Paul, the winner, actually said, well, I'm not going to win this contest because I'm not going to actually tell you my goals. And I was, as soon as he wrote that, I was like, what? And then I started reading more into it. And he said, well, and the reason why is because no matter what I do, I just plan on following through and continuing with one thing. And I was like, that's it right there.
Yep.
And good stuff. You know, just follow through with what you do. Put your chin down, get in there, and just fight. Just continue doing it. And he won. I talked with him the other day. We had a roadmap session helping him actually work on his goals throughout the year. And very good guy. Looking forward to seeing where he goes with that. So yeah. Neat stuff.
Very cool. And so I should also say that's over, but we are going to be doing more fun Facebook stuff. Actually, we just posted a couple days ago. We're going to be giving away, lately you read Mastery by Robert Greene, and I'm actually reading it right now, as a matter of fact, and we're going to be giving away a copy of that, and also, to be announced, Jarlo's book pick and my book pick that we're going to be posting soon. So in a few days, we're going to be talking about how we're going to give those away, and we're basically whoever wins that contest, and we're going to have a really good reason for that, a good kind of discussion around the point of that, but we'll tell you more about it later. But whoever wins is going to be able to get those three books, the three books that Ryan Jarlo and I are reading, sent to them, physical, real, actual books, new ones, ones.
New? We're sending new ones? Wow.
Yeah.
Why would we want to do that? We got to save money. Come on now.
Well, because I'm not giving up my books is why. we're going to be doing that soon. So make sure that you're following us on Facebook and be on the lookout for that. Because these are actually really good books. We have excellent taste. What can I say? So let's A some Qs.
I like it. Let's do it.
All right. So first cue is, can I add in legwork to rings one and parallettes one?
Yes, you can. And that is the answer that everyone wants me to say. And you know what? That's correct. You can do this. A lot of times, you know, in the past, we've said, you know, you got to focus on that one thing. Continue to do that one thing. Yes, make that your main point. If your main goal is to work through rings one or, you know, parallettes one, make that the main focus of your workout. But you can also add in some leg work. And if you do decide to do that, I suggest, for example, doing it after your main workout. Maybe even doing some light kind of work, maybe some shrimp squats. And speaking of shrimp squats, actually, this month for one of the Alpha Posse tutorials, I covered the shrimp squat in depth and explained how you can actually use the shrimp squat in your other workouts. So getting back to what we're saying, yes, you can do that. You can add in some leg work if you're working on the rings and the parallettes. Just make sure that it doesn't make sure you don't overdo it so that you're still able to perform your ring work and your parallel work.
Yeah, the important thing to remember is just that, you know, like squats and deadlifts, for example, are great exercises, but they're very, very intense if you do them right. I mean, if you're doing a light enough weight that you can do like 100 reps of squats, then you're not doing heavy enough squats.
Right.
There's
exactly, yeah.
There's no point in doing wussy squats with light weight. So if you're going to bother squatting, then, you know, it's probably going to be very intense. And you can't have really too many very intense exercises, you know. You have one thing you focus on and the rest is accessory.
Yeah, and if you're gonna, if you really want to, you know, work your squats, then focus on your squats. Go heavy, and do them right. But if you just want to train your legs a little bit while you're doing rings and parallettes, then I suggest really, I don't want to say go light, but use an exercise, for example, like the pistol squat or maybe the shrimp squat. It's going to help you not only keep your strength up, but it's also going to work on your mobility and your balance. And that's something that's going to carry over for, let's say, when you go back and start doing heavy squats again.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So here's one that comes up from time to time, and we're actually working on something kind of special for this, and I'll let you talk about that. But here's a question. I'm a woman, and I cannot do pull-ups. That's not the question. The question is, what should I do?
Yeah. This is actually a question we've received
576 times.
We get it. I don't want to say all the time, but this is working with the ladies out there, this is a common question. And recently we received a great email, a very, very detailed email about a particular person, a lady, her training. And really, we just sat down and we just said, you know what, we need to rethink this. As far as coming from a woman's standpoint, Andy, we're not women, but we do want to make sure that the women of GMB are successful out there. So
I love the ladies, and I want to take care of them.
Yeah, and we do. We want to make sure that, you know, people who are going through our programs are successful with it. So what we've decided to do is we're in the process of rewriting. We're amending. Yes. Workout for the ladies. So let's say, for example, if you're having trouble even getting started with the rings, we're going to help you do that. And so pull-ups are tough. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. It depends, you know, on your background or whatnot. But we want to make sure that you're able to do that. And so I think we've come up with a good protocol to help you get that. And it's not just the pull-up, by the way. Also, we're looking at the dip, the ring dips, and making sure that you're able to get that too. And eventually working up to be able to do the muscle up. So, yeah, if you can't get the pull up, what should you do? Well, you need to, this is for anything, you need to take a step back and look at what the problem is. Where are you weak? And what I mean by that is, well, I'm weak in my pull ups. No, I'm talking about, are you weak on the pulling prep? And we're going to talk about this in a little bit because it came up later. And this is the scapular retraction pull up. But look at where you're weak, focus on making that stronger, and then go back and work on the pull-up. Of course, there's many different variations you can do. You can start off by doing reverse row sit back. You can jump up and start working on negatives where you're lowering your body. Don't just, you know, try and jump up there and try and pull up and then say, well, I can't do it. Make sure that you work through the progressions and get strong in each progression before you move on to the next one.
Yeah, and I also want to mention, you know, so this particular person also mentioned that she's been doing CrossFit for like, you know, 3 or 4 years and working and getting stronger and working out very, very diligently. And so it's not like this is somebody who is, you know, enormously overweight and weak. This is a woman who works out a lot.
And she's strong
and in shape, but she still can't get pull-ups. And that's got to be really frustrating. Yes. And there's a lot of reasons for this. And I'm not picking on CrossFit at all. I do think that there are issues with their instructional method, primarily that they don't have one. But I'm not really going to get into CrossFit. The point is, though, that, you know, even if you're in shape, even if you're strong, pull-ups can be difficult for men or women, but especially for women, just because, at least in our society, women do not practice a lot of the kinds of movements and strength that men do. And so that's why we're creating this. And this is, I should just say, we're going to, as soon as it's done, we're going to be sending this to all of the women that have Rings One for free, of course. And we're going to include it with Rings One in the future. But it's kind of a supplemental program that is just designed to focus on helping women achieve that basic fundamental pulling strength that they need to do pull-ups, and then to be able to make make progress on Rings One that actually feels like they're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Because we don't want you to be frustrated. We don't want anyone to be frustrated. You know, frustration is not something that breeds a happy, enjoyable kind of lifestyle around your health, you know? And so we're going to be working on that, and so look for that coming soon, ladies.
Yeah. We're going to talk about pull-ups in a little bit, yeah.
But the point is that we do care about the ladies.
We do. We love do. Ladies. So.
We love the ladies quite regularly.
Our wives are going to kill us, but, you know, that's a different...
Well, those are the ladies that I was speaking of.
Oh, I was... Okay, never mind. Next topic.
Okay, next topic. All right. What's so important about keeping my elbows in when doing push-ups? So this is actually, you know, we always talk about improper push-up form, and one of our coaching cues that we always give is to keep your elbows tight. And this also ties into scapular retraction, but, you know, and... If you Google the word push-up and look on images, you'll see like 5 gazillion pictures of people with their arms flared out to the side, like their fingertips pointing at each other, their elbows so far out that you could probably smell their armpits from across the room doing push-ups. And this is just horrible, horrible form. And we say, don't do that. And so people are like, well, I've always done push-ups that way, so what's wrong with it? Well, there's a few things, you know. So, Ryan, we say that one is that it's not good for your shoulders or elbows, actually, for that matter. But some people are like, well, I've never had shoulder pain, so you guys are wrong.
Sure. Well, hey, that's great. You've got strong shoulders. But over the years, you know, if you keep doing that, you're probably going to have some issues. Something that we need to look at is – in GMB, of course, we're not just focusing on the push-ups, okay? So a lot of people just say, okay, I look at your push-up tutorial, notice that your elbows are in, and they don't see the big picture. And what I mean by that is we're working towards more advanced movements.
Wait, hold on. So you mean the point of doing push-ups is not to get better at push-ups? You are shitting me, dude.
Big no. Yeah, you got to get better at push-ups, but it... It's not okay. Let's just go say it. I don't give a shit how many push-ups you can do, right? Okay. I want to know if you can do one correctly, and you can get stronger while doing the push-ups, so that you can move on to the other movements. That's all I care about. I just want to make sure that you're progressing, doing it in a safe manner, so that when you start working on these advanced movements, you're not going to break down. And what I mean by that is break your body. So if you've got your elbows flared out and you're doing push-ups, you're not creating a good foundation, a good base to set you up for when you get into some of the harder tricks and movements. Let's say, like, for example, if you're working on a handstand push-up, you don't want to flare your elbows out there. Let's say the bent arm stand. The bent arm stand, this is where you have your arms bent. You're holding yourself where your legs are suspended in the air. If you've got your elbows flared, you're going to come crashing down. So really, for what we're trying to do, it all comes down to creating a solid base and doing it correctly so that you can build upon it, right? So we got these people out there. Wow, your elbow. I've always done push-ups with my elbows flared out, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's great. Go ahead and try some of these advanced movements. Get back with me. So it's just not going to work. And, yeah, I'm a stickler on that. I'm not saying that you can't do it with your elbows out, but I am saying that once you start progressing into these advanced movements, it's just not going to work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm really glad that we touch on this. It's very, very important to understand that the reason we make our cues, our coaching cues, is not always for that specific exercise.
Exactly.
And this is not just about push-ups or dips or anything. we give coaching cues with the big picture in mind. And this is why we always talk about that the program is greater than the sum of the parts. People ask, what muscle does this work? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what muscle it works. Honestly, I don't. What I care about is that you can learn to master that position. You can have balance, you can have strength, you can do it smoothly, and then you can move on to the next thing. That's what's important. We're always looking at the big picture. And that goes down back to, you know, what some people are like, ask us about in Parallettes 1, should I add pull-ups? Because, you know, Parallettes, it's all pressing. You don't have any pulling movements in here. Actually, if you do the Parallettes 1 properly, your pull-up numbers will increase. Why? That's because you practice L-sits and tuck holds with your shoulders and your scapular retraction and your arms straight, and you're actually building the exact musculature and skill that people need to be able to do good pull-ups. So always understand that everything we talk about is part of a bigger picture. It's part of a greater plan. And so if we say, you know, keep your elbows in and that's not comfortable for you, well, you know, you can, your elbows don't have to like rub against your ribs every time. You know, you can let your elbows come out slightly, but the point is that we're trying to teach you skills that are going to transfer to other things.
Exactly. And there's, you know, there are times when we might use a particular movement where we have our elbows out, okay? We're not saying that that's not a possibility, but what, just like what you were saying, and it's we're trying to build upon, create this first step to allow you to progress without frustration, making sure that you're getting strong in those basic movements so that when you get to the next progression, you feel good about what you're doing, you have the strength, and you can actually enjoy the process.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. And here's the thing that might blow some minds is that we might even teach the exact same movement differently in different situations if there's a separate goal.
That's exactly right. Very good point. And speaking of which, let's just go into it right now.
Go into it, Ryan.
Let's talk about some pull-ups, okay? Okay, so recently I actually posted a video of my coach right now, Steve Atlas, this amazing guy. He's doing some scapular retraction pull-ups. And what I mean by that is, if you don't know what I'm talking about, basically when you perform the pull-up, you're pulling your shoulders down with even before you initiate the pull-up. So before you start bending your arms to pull yourself up for the pull-up, you're pulling your shoulders down as far as you can and trying to pull your shoulder blades together. Now, on the internet, that was Steve, okay? And Steve didn't talk anything about this, but another trainer out there said, well, scap-retracted pull-ups are the only pull-ups you should be doing. And what it came down to is the hollow body pull-up is basically worthless. And that was the thing. Well, yeah, okay. I can see how if you're looking for back development, the scap pull-up and holding that position to the very top of the pull-up, yeah, that's going to help you, you know, strengthen your back and actually your lower back as well, because you're going to have an arched back and it's going to force your lower back to work hard and it's going to strengthen it. Now, the hollow body, okay, this is actually what some people miss. Some people think that you start in the hollow body position and you finish in the hollow body position. We do things a little bit differently here in GMB. We start off with the scap retraction. Then we pull to the hollow body, hold the top position, then we lower back and finish up with a full dead hang. Now, is that the perfect pull-up? Well, you know what? I'm going to say no. And the reason why is because it all comes down to what your goal is. You know, the scap retracted pull-up could be the best pull-up for you if that's what your goals are. If that's what your goal is, and let's say, you know, strengthening your back or whatnot. But let's say also you want to work on something, for example, the muscle up, okay? Now, the muscle up on the rings, I would like to see a hollow body for that. The reason for that is it's going to force your lower body as well as your core and your entire core to work together in order to help you get up there for the muscle up. Yes, you can do it by using the scap retractor pull up. But like I said earlier, I would rather see you start off with a pulling prep, that scap retraction, and then transition into the hollow body before you go up into the muscle up. That's just my preference. So getting back to what people say, you know, one is better than the other, I say bullshit. I say it all comes down to your goals. What are you working on? Find what works for you, focus on that, and get strong with it.
Yeah. And this is something actually Jarlo and I were talking about recently. A lot of times what happens is when somebody is trying to make a name for themselves or when somebody's trying to promote their workshops or whatever, you know, they tend to do this thing where they want to be controversial and they want to look important. And so they will post a lot of things like, this is the only right way to do this. And anyone who ever thinks about doing it any other way is just stupid. Why would you ever do that? That's so wrong. Obviously, I teach this way, and you can see that my students can do the things I teach them to do. Therefore, the way I teach is better.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Sure.
If your goal is to do skill A and you teach the way to do skill A, then the people who practice that way are going to do fine. But that's not the only one righteous path to physical perfection, okay? Just because some dude is trying to be controversial on the internet, I know this is going to blow your minds, but that doesn't mean he's right, and it doesn't mean that it's the only way to think about something.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And we're not saying that anybody is wrong. We're not saying that, I mean, there are a lot of these people that are very skilled and very strong, have trained lots of people, but we're just saying that anybody that is trying to say, well, every other trainer is stupid unless they do things the way I say, those guys, they might be very strong, but you know what? They're dumb shits.
Yeah. I just can't stand this. You know, I could go off all day on this. It's just, what does it come down to? And this is what blows me away, is because a lot of people, you know, well, there are other trainers who will see what we're doing here at GMB and they'll be like, that's wrong. Okay, you've seen one exercise that we teach, okay? You have no idea what we're going for, what we're trying to do here. And to just flat out say what you're doing is wrong, well, you know, you can suck it. I'll just flat out say, because
Ryan, how dare you teach the back lever with a supinated grip? Everyone knows it should be pronated because that's the only conceivable way you could ever build straight arm strength to be able to do planches. No, you can actually build that strength doing other things. Sorry, dude, you're wrong.
And you know, and the funny thing is that obviously, if we get a question or someone says that, they obviously haven't seen the rest of the material to show that we show to understand that we show both ways. So I mean, yeah, little things like that. I mean, if you're gonna go out and you're gonna, you know, think you're gonna be cool by saying you're so controversial on the internet, then for one, you're a dick. But other than that, just whatever. Just make sure that if you're going to say something like and call somebody out, that you understand what they're trying to do. So
yeah, that's important. So the point that I really want to make, though, is that the right method is not determined by what the teacher thinks is going to make him sound smart.
Thank you.
The right method is determined by what helps the student make progress.
Yes. And
always.
That's it. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. It's got to make sure that your student is getting to where they want to go and where they need to go. That's all that matters. So
let's talk about Billy Joel. Actually, I've seen Billy Joel in concert like 5 times. I've just got to say this. And he is probably one of the very best performers I've ever seen. I'm a huge music fan and musician myself, as you know. And I've been to like probably 1,000 concerts, and I've seen Billy Joel a bunch of times. Once I was on the third row, right on the piano side. It was like the highlight of my concert going life. And he played Big Shot that show, which is my favorite Billy Joel song. So anyway, this is totally irrelevant, but you mentioned Billy Joel, and I have to start going back to my glory days. But
Just let you know, we of course we have, I don't want to say a script, but we always take notes about what we're going to be talking about here in the podcast. And yesterday when I was writing some of the stuff out, you know, it was talking about people who want to change the programs. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then the next day they change. And for some reason, Billy Joel popped in my head, don't go changing. So I had to write that out. Anyway, to get back on topic, January, a lot of people make goals and decide that they're going to do a particular program. They want to do X or, you know, or whatever. Well, it's pretty interesting that a lot of people tend to change their minds after only a few weeks or, you know, even less than that. They say they're not getting the results that they had hoped for, so that they need to change their program. Well, my thing is, don't change the program. You got to stick with something and stick with it long enough to really determine whether or not you do need to change it. You're probably not going to see immediate results in a program. Let's say if you're working on something like the back lever, just because you mentioned it earlier, Andy. If you're working on a back lever and after a couple weeks you're not getting the full back lever, well, you know what? It's going to be okay. Stick with it. Trust in the programming. Keep working on it. Be diligent about it. And over time, you probably will get it. But just because things aren't happening for you after 1 week or 2 weeks doesn't mean that you need to go back and rethink your entire program. There might be cases where, yes, if you're hurt or something that you're doing is hurting you, then yeah, well, you need to take a look at your programming and figure something out. But if you're just not making the progress you want after a couple weeks, then one, you need to think about, are you actually following the program the way it was designed? And are you spending enough time working on that program? So results, take some time, give it time, and trust in the programming.
Yeah, and Jarlo actually wrote a really good post a few weeks ago by now about how to know when it's time to move on, how to know when you need to change your program. And I really recommend reading through that because it's got some really good points. Definitely, if you're on something for a while and you've made no progress at all, you might need to change your program. But most people change programs when they don't see instant results. And if you're trying to learn something new that you haven't been doing before, you're not going to get instant results.
Another thing, too, along those lines, there's a lot of neat tricks out there. And you might be working on one trick. If a new trick comes along that you see on the internet, don't just jump over to that new trick and leave your old trick alone. Focus on that one thing that you really want to get. Once you get that, then you can focus on the other one. And what I'm talking about is thinking that you should be doing something that you should be doing everything at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, pick that one thing that you want to work on and just focus on that. It's not saying that you can't do other stuff, but what I am saying is that you need to you pick one thing and make that the focus of your workout, the main focus.
Absolutely. Interesting side trivia about Billy Joel, by the way. do you know what the very first CD sold in Japan was? Compact disc? This outdated now media format?
I've never heard of CD. What's that?
It's kind of like MP3s, but you can hold them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Was it Billy Joel? Perhaps.
It was Billy Joel's 52nd Street. The very first CD available for sale in Japan.
That is pretty
If you
wild.
Go on YouTube, I think you can actually see, if you search for 52nd Street Japan CD or something like that, you can actually see video of when it went on sale, and like the very first guy that bought it, he probably like stood in line for 4 days to buy the very first CD in Japan. And he was like so excited, and rightfully, because 52nd Street is a great album. But yeah, anyway, can we talk more about Billy Joel? Because
yeah, I'm just letting you roll with it, man. I can tell how excited you are right now about Billy Joel. I'm just kind of stepping back, you know. So.
All right. Well, basically, that's all we've got this time. If you cannot tell by now, we've run out of content for today's episode, people.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Time to wrap it up. Seriously, though, you know, don't just jump from one program to another. Don't just believe everybody who's trying to make a name for themselves just because they say something is good or something is bad. Don't go changing everything. Don't say, well, I heard that you don't need core strength. You just need core awareness. What is core awareness?
Ooh, I like that.
You know what? If you're not aware of your core, you have serious problems. Anyway, you know, just think about making some damn sense. You know, just don't be so quick to jump on stuff because some dude with a six pack said so. Yeah. All right. There's a lot more to it. At GMB, yeah, we're not the ultimate in anything, but we are looking holistically at how to teach a variety of things. And so therefore we are better than everyone and everyone else is wrong. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. I just said don't believe anyone who says that. Anyway, make your own decisions. All right?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
All right. So with that said, we're going to wrap things up. Please go to iTunes and click on the fifth star from the left. That would be the rightmost star. And make it yellow, which means that you have given us a 5-star review. Obviously, if you do so, you would not be reviewing us based on the quality of today's episode necessarily, but of the podcast as a whole, which is usually much better, I promise you. And hey, you know, help spread the word. Send your friends to GMB. We'd like to meet your friends. We think they're good-looking people. They're smart and intelligent, and we'd love to know them better.
I need more friends, too, so... Please join us. We like friends.
All right. Cheers, folks. Thanks.